Connection is an essential part of the process of mentoring others. It is critical if you want to influence people in a positive way. Making connections happen will require great effort and a lot of work. Making connections will involve communication skills, a desire to help people grow and change, and a sense of personal mission or purpose. Today, we discuss how to lead people by making connections right here, right now, only on the Five Gifts Podcast.
You're listening to the Five Gifts Podcast, a weekly show designed to equip leaders in the Spirit-filled church. I'm Bruce Ritter, and along with my co-host, Charles Russell, we offer insights for leading the local church in the fullest expression of Jesus. If you're interested in learning more about practical theology, the gifts of the Spirit, and spiritual disciplines, this is the show for you. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. Good morning. Good Monday morning. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. I say it's Monday morning, but as always, you may be picking this up on Monday afternoon, maybe later in the week, a Wednesday morning or Thursday morning. We're glad that you're here on the Five Gifts Podcast. I got to tell you that we're in a fantastic series. I really enjoyed talking on dynamics related to mentoring and helping people develop. And, you know, looking at our role is how we help people grow. And so I'm excited to bring another episode on that topic today. I also got to tell you that I'm in Germany. I'm on my way to Germany, going to spend a week in Kaiserslautern. My wife is a women's ministry director in North Carolina. And so we're going with a team putting on an Inspire Women's Conference. Excited about what God has in store for us. We have women's groups coming from multiple nations, from Eastern, Central, and Western Europe. And just believing for a gathering that will not only be full of ministry to women, but also maybe catalyst for revival in the nation. So we're excited about that. Charles, what's happening in your world?
Well, nothing except I'm just a little envious to hear about your great travels to Germany. Man, I hope you guys are having a great time. And I'm just here in Western North Carolina. I'm getting ready for 25 cent. Wing night again, you know, so, you know, the excitement level is starting to grow and starting to peak. It doesn't compare to Germany, but hey, you just take what's available to you. So we're having a great time here in Western North Carolina. So so anyway, we're looking for great testimonies and continued reports of the good work of God that's happening through you guys in Germany, for sure. Well, let's get going this morning as we're talking about this episode today on the podcast. Bruce, help us to understand how connection and making connections how that helps people, how it lifts people.
Yeah, absolutely. And connecting enables us to help move people to a higher level. I want to say move people, but in all honesty, a better word is travel with people. We walk with people from where they are to where they want to be, where they need to be. And, you know, mentoring, we've talked about mentoring, coaching, again, both disciplines share, I think, a similar objective, and that is helping people move from where they are to where they want to be. And one of the skills, I think, that are important in both is the ability to co-create relationships with people. And so connection is a huge part of mentoring and coaching. When you connect with people, you're asking them to come alongside you, to walk with you, to work with you, to share with you. Charles, last week you mentioned sometimes as a leader, you want to put someone in the headlock and punch them in the face a few times. Did you say that? Maybe not the punching part, but definitely, you know, wrangling them in a side headlock and making them go where you want them to go. You know, that's not an effective way of leadership. In fact, you may lose more people if you take that approach. So connection is a better way. Again, it's about inviting people to come alongside you. Think about what the number one thing you do now to connect with people. Maybe you have your own method. Well, think about that. Think through that, because I think that's going to be an important skill and methodology when it comes to connecting with people that you need to collaborate with, whether it's in church life or the marketplace. I thought maybe kicking off this discussion, it's something that I found Dr. Larry Crabb wrote about a few years ago, actually several years ago now, in his book on connecting. And he describes or comes up with three basic models that we use to understand people. Again, it's a model. Think of it as a paradigm, just a way of understanding how those dynamics of understanding people work. One is what he would call a dynamic model, the dynamic model of connection. That's where people are controlled by internal processes, personality dynamics. A lot of times the roots of those kind of factors are found in their past, maybe their childhood, maybe their adolescent development. And so in relating to people, by recognizing where they've come from and what's made them who they are, we relate only at the surface. They may present themselves in a way that's, you know, largely unapproachable. We think of things that have happened to them or have defined them. And so there's no real connecting that goes on in those situations where maybe in the same room, we're working on the same stuff, but not really working together. So we tend to work with what I call kid gloves or eggshells. We're walking on eggshells all the time. You know, just because that person has got perhaps some issues in their life that make it difficult to relate. And so if we only look at people based on what's happened to them in the past, and we connect that to some of their behaviors, then, you know, the approach of connecting is, again, it's not really connecting. It's more of just you know, working together in the same space. Another model that Dr. Crabb talked about was the moral model. And that's where we recognize that people are stubborn, mostly unchanging. They're controlled by their own will, their own self-centeredness, their responsibilities, their tasks. And so little attention is given to motives for behavior. We usually have to relate to people by how they behave and perform. Again, that's very surface level, unless we enjoy the same behaviors. And if that's the case, then that kind of relating to people can become codependent. I hate to use the analogy, but I think of the drinking buddies. You know, they only share one thing, one vice, and that's what they do that together. That's not really understanding. Again, that's both of the first two. They work with people based on limitations. The third way of relating is what he called the relational model, what he defines as connecting, where you recognize that people are designed for relationship. They're not defined by what they do or what's happened to them. They're defined by what we can bring into their lives. We can help them grow. And so while they may relate to or react to difficulties with tension and a sense of conflict, they usually respond to healthy relationship. We can help them by creating an affirming relationship that's designed to do a couple of things. Number one is to spark hope, to say that, you know, we believe in you, we encourage you, and we're going to work together, that you're not the only factor in outcomes. This is something we're going to collaborate on and we're going to work together. And number two, we offer a safe setting to try new trusted patterns of relating. And so anytime you can approach the potential to connect with people, their relationship and how that relationship can define the work that you do together. Again, the collaboration is the operative word. Then I think you're setting yourself up for success. Charles, as we think about that, you know, my question to our listeners is, what can we specifically do to connect with people and help them grow in their potential? And maybe that's a jumping off point for some strategies that you have for us.
Absolutely. I like strategies. And so I've got 9 steps for connecting with people. I can hear the collective groan in the Five Gifts podcast room, you know, much like when we hear our pastor say, I've got 10 steps in the sermon this morning. So, but 9 steps for connecting with people. We're going to go through them quick because we've got to eat lunch at some point today. Number one, don't take people for granted. Everyone is important. And that sounds really simple, but it's hard to practice. Don't take people for granted. Everyone is important. That's a mindset that we have to cultivate and develop as we're leading people. If we can't connect with people, we can't lead with people, because there's no connection if there's not relationship. And anyway, I don't want to get back into our talks from last week, but again, relationship is the currency of leadership. And so, how we value people, how we relate with people, don't take people for granted. Everyone is important. The second step that's going to help us connect or make connections with people is to possess a make a difference mindset. Possess a make a difference mindset. How in the world can we possess a make a difference mindset? Here's four quick ways we can do that. Number one, believe that you can make a difference. You've got to have belief in yourself that you can make a difference, or you're not going to make a difference. The reason we continue to put out new content each week here on the Five Gifts podcast is that Bruce and I believe we can make a difference. We're not doing this just to pass time or to make ourselves feel good. There is a strong belief that we both have that we can make a difference through this medium, and so we continue to do that. When you step behind the lectern or the pulpit, or when you stand before the congregation to deliver the sermon or the message for that day, there should be a belief you can make a difference. When you lead the team or the staff meeting, or whatever meeting it is, as you're leading the people, there has to be a belief in the leader. You have to believe that you can make a difference. Second part of having this make a difference mindset: believe that what you share can make a difference. So Bruce and I both believe that we can make a difference through this podcast, but we also believe that the content, that the message we share through this podcast makes a difference. When we preach, when we do leadership talks or conferences, we believe that what we share can make a difference. Otherwise, why bother sharing? You're just wasting time. So to have a make a difference mindset, believe that what you share can make a difference. Third, believe the person you share with can make a difference. We are convinced, Bruce and I, that the people on the other end of this podcast, we believe that you can make a difference. So we believe this podcast makes a difference. We believe the message of this podcast makes a difference. And we believe the listeners and the viewers of this podcast, you absolutely can and are making a difference. Number four is believe that together you can make a difference. So listen, as you're leading your organization, as you're leading your sports team, as you're leading the church, together you can make a difference. There has to be a belief that in this partnership together, that you both parties can make a difference. And those four simple steps can help a leader. It can help you possess a make a difference mindset. All right, so backing out of the make a difference mindset, back to the nine steps now for connecting with people. We're on step number three, and it's simply this: initiate movement toward them. If you're going to connect with people, you have to initiate movement toward them. To initiate simply means to make the first move. Isn't that what God did towards us as His people? He initiated towards us. He still continues to initiate toward us. He makes the first move. He made the first move toward us. He continues to move toward us first. As leaders, as we are doing our best to lead through connections, we must initiate movement toward those we are leading, towards those we desire to make connection with. Look, it's not the follower's job to move toward you as the leader. As the leader, you and I, we should move toward those we are trying to make connections with. Again, we cannot lead anyone effectively and sustainably without connection. And that's going to require the leader to make the first move. You must initiate movement toward those you're leading. The next step, let's see, I believe we're number four here, recognize and respect the difference in personality. Recognize and respect differences in personalities. We're all different, but when you begin to dig deeper and look deeper, what we discover is that we are predictably different. There's a lot of literature, there's a lot of research around this topic. One instrument that has brought me great clarity in discovering differences in personality is the DISC assessment, D-I-S-C, the DISC assessment that talks about different personality behaviors, and it really has brought me great information, great clarity, and it helps me to distinguish between different personality types, to help me relate with people who are different from me, and there are predictable differences. So just as an example, let's say we're going to go on a trip to the beach. Everybody I know likes to go to the beach. So we're going to make a road trip to the beach, and we got to figure out who's going to drive. All right, who's going to drive everybody to the beach? We all load into the car, the van, the bus, whatever. We're in the vehicle, and we got to get there. Who's going to drive? The person with that D personality, kind of the driver, the dominant one, they're going to say, I'm going to drive, I know the best way, and we'll get there the fastest. They're decisive, they're going to make a decision, and they're confident that their way is going to be the best way. The I, who is that kind of the influencer, who's the life of the party type, you know, they're going to say something like, oh, well, I can't drive, I can't find my keys, you know. That's they're just so into the party, into the life, being the life of the party, like, I can't find my keys, I can't drive. The S, the person who's the nurturer, the caregiver, they're going to say something like, well, you know, it doesn't matter to me who drives as long as we all get there safely. And then the C, that person who's the compliant person, they're going to follow the rules, they're going to have the plan, their response is going to be something like, well, I've gone ahead and I know we've got GPS, but I went ahead and printed out the directions so that we have a good plan and we have a fail-safe, fail-proof plan to get to the beach. So we're all different, and we're going to all relate differently to one another. We all have predictable differences, and that's a key in making connections, beginning to understand, okay, is this person more dominant, kind of that D, or are they more an influencer? Are they more that the life of the party type, or are they more of an S, a caregiver, a nurturer? Are they more of a C, more of the compliant, kind of the details, logistics-oriented person? And looking for patterns in their behavior so that we can begin to communicate with them, so that we can begin to relate and interact with them on a level that is more desirable and favorable with them, because ultimately we want to make connections. And we are different, but in our personalities there are predictable differences, and some of these instruments and tools can help us in that. Another step is that helps us in making connections is to look for common ground. All right. In other words, where can we agree in building this relationship, in building our connection? Where is it that I can find common ground with this person? It could be around a sports team. It could be around an activity that our children share. It could be around a favorite cuisine or type of food, or maybe a common destination we've shared in a vacation. As we're conversing, as we're talking, as we're relating, we want to begin to look for common ground with that person, because that's a great place to make connection. It's a place where we can agree and we can begin to build further common conversation and deeper and more meaningful communication from those places of common ground. All right, so we're traveling down this 9 steps pathway into making connections with people. Here's another one. Find the key to others' lives. Find the key to others' lives. In other words, what are they interested in? What motivates them? What do they dream about? What pulls them? What drives them? What's the key? Because in making a connection, we want to be able to open up the door to their lives. And so these are powerful dynamics that are at play in other people's lives. And a great way to make connection with them is to begin to figure out, all right, what are their interests? What are their desires? What motivates them? What are the drivers in their lives? What's the vision that they have for their future? What are their dreams? What does that look like? It's a great place for us to make connections. The next step is, at some point, we're going to have to communicate from the heart. Not only are we trying to discern the key to their life, but we're going to have to give them insight into our life as well. We don't want to build walls, and we don't want to construct facades that keep people out, because we want to make connections. And if we're making connection into their life, that means this is a two-way street. This is a pathway for me to connect into their lives and for them to connect and share in my life as well. So I want to be able to be transparent. So there's a great word that we don't talk a lot about in leadership: transparency. Transparency is a powerful dynamic in the life of a leader. That's a lesson I've had to learn and continue to learn, is that the more transparent, the more vulnerable I become as a leader, the stronger the connection. All right, let's move to the next step here. Is share common experiences. Share common experiences. Something as simple as a cup of coffee or a meal. It's a beginning point. It's a beginning point that again, our lives can begin to be knit together. So we're moving past just kind of a surface level conversation. Now we're sharing a meal. There's something powerful in the sharing of a meal. When we break bread with someone, when we share the table with someone, there's just something there in that common experience where walls begin to crumble and connections really begin to solidify. All right, so once we're connected, we want to move forward. We want to lean in. A real connection creates a willingness and a desire for more. So we've made the connection, but we don't want to stay at the point of connection. We want to strengthen the connection. We want to move forward and lean in into the connection. And so it should create a willingness and a desire for stronger connection. And as a leader, I have to be willing to cultivate that desire, facilitate the strengthening, the intensifying of those connections. So we've talked about nine steps on this ladder of connections, if you will, or nine steps in the pathways of a connection. As you think and as you reflect on those nine things, could you pick three of the nine? Which three could that could really significantly impact your level of connections in people's lives. If you were to work on only three of those nine, which three could really improve your ability and your capacity to become a better connector? Because ultimately, you're going to lead at the level of connection that you have. So begin to pick three of those nine, and which of those three could improve your abilities to be a better connector. Well, Bruce, what are some things that that we need to kind of remember and kind of keep in the forefront of our thinking that will help us be better connectors?
Yeah, I was going to talk about motivation. I will in a minute, but I wanted to say that, Charles, as I think about this list, this is incredibly practical. This is these are things that are not hard. They're based on just making up your mind that you're going to do these things. Mm-hmm. And I want to encourage people, as you think about moving into some of these ways of connecting with people, some of us have innate strengths that I think we need to lean into. So don't run to your weakest thing. You know, begin to work on things that you do well and pair it with something that you don't do well. For example, I was looking at the list and thinking, I don't always initiate movement. I tend to be more passive. And so that would be a weakness for me. But one thing that I believe I do well is communicate from the heart. So allowing that to be more of the driver, as I begin to think about the people that are near me that I can help develop and grow, I think, sharing from the heart a plan for coaching or mentoring, that would be two things that would absolutely take me to the next level tomorrow. Yeah. So as we talk to our listeners, go from a position of strength and pair it alongside of a weakness that can help you. As I think about factors that we need to remember in connecting with people, and actually you mentioned this, Charles, is considering those things that motivate them. You said find the key to others' lives. Well, what motivates them? What are the things that are driving them? And I think people thirst for two things. I think there's a thirst for relationship, because God designed us for relationship, not only with himself, but other people. I think each of us deeply, we want someone to see us exactly as we are. We want someone who works with us to see that this is our heart, this is our strength, this is our, this is what we offer. I want someone to recognize that there are some things in me that aren't sufficient, that aren't strong, and I want them to accept me. And that really is the challenge in relationship, to recognize that we're called to accept people in their areas of strength, but also in their areas of weakness. And so that idea of relationship, I think, is powerful. And we don't always react well to that. I think sometimes the desire for relationship that we have can be, it can bring some anxiety, because it means, not only am I needing to share what really drives me, but I need to be vulnerable enough. And you use the word transparency. I need to be vulnerable enough to let people know that these are some things I don't do well. I think that's really important. But in working with others and connecting with them, it's important to remember that factor. There is we talk about the God-shaped hole that lives inside of every person. And at the same time, there is a craving for relationship. No one can live life very long without recognizing their need for relationship. So, and people thirst for that. So as a connector, keep that in mind. Secondly, I think people thirst for impact. They want their life to make an impact. And we talked about having the make a difference mindset. as a leader, it's assumed that you have the role, you have the title, because you have a track record of success. You make things happen. You're a vital cog in the success of the organization or the meeting their monthly goals. People thirst for that kind of impact. I believe God designed us with a desire for purpose. And we want to know that we're capable of doing the job that needs to be done and done well. We want to leave our mark in the world. And as leaders, when we connect with people in their leadership development, whether it's through coaching or mentoring, we're helping them fulfill deeply meaningful goals and ambitions. There's great power in being a developer of people. There's great value, and you will earn people's affinity and trust when you avail yourself. We've talked about this. When you make yourself available to help people become better. Again, there's some things in you as a leader that are attractive. They are desirable. They are magnets, magnets of other people coming around you and wanting to adjust to life and live into some of their dreams the way they see you doing that. Don't underestimate that. I'm not saying you're the end all be all, but you are vital to other people's success. And when you recognize that, I think it's easier to take that posture of a servant leader. So because people desire impact, consider your role in helping them grow and develop in that and make that a basis for connection. So again, connection is about understanding these kinds of drives in others as a leader and simply helping facilitate their movement. And if you take that posture, I got to tell you, if you're a task-driven person, then allow yourself to be more of a people-focused person. Because you're having so much potential wasted when you fail to focus on helping others become better producers. And so when I think about, Charles, as I think about connecting, I think about, those are two dynamics, relationship and desire to impact, that are just valuable when it comes to being better equippers, better people developers. And so, yeah, that's absolutely vital. Any thoughts?
Well, I think, well, I know, I don't think, I know, I'm convinced that the onus for connection, the responsibility for connection is on the leader. And again, it's, I'm as guilty as anyone. I can get caught up on the task or on the achievement as a leader, wanting to meet the deadline, wanting to meet the goal. But there's something so much more valuable than even the accomplishment or the task or getting the win. Man, and this is hard for me to say, is I like to win. But it and you've already touched on it, but it's just the people who are you're sharing the win with, the people who are helping us to achieve, the people who are helping us to accomplish, who are we meeting the deadline with? Because we're not doing it alone. It is with a powerful team, a team that we of people that we must value, that we must cherish, and that we must connect with. And, you talked about these motivations. People want relationship and they want impact. And if we can provide that as a leader, if we can provide relationship and we can provide impact, meaning, purpose, value in a person's life, What we are doing is securing a strong connection that not only delivers wins or achievements, but it lifts, it transforms people. It it totally, it unlocks new things, new opportunities, new life for people. And as leaders, I think if you didn't hear anything else today, if you hear what Bruce just talked about as far as impact in relationships, if we can tap into those motivations for people's lives, people buy in, and we're not manipulating. Manipulation is about meeting our agenda and serving our self-interest. Mm-hmm. We are serving people through this. And so if we help people through these motivations, what are we doing? We are serving them in a way that lifts them, that increases them, that multiplies them through connection, through a relationship that brings strong connections that ultimately brings about transformation in people's lives. And man, I'm telling you, if we can bring transformation in people, there's nothing greater. If we can help people get from where they are to the place that they're dreaming of becoming, to the place that they feel like God is leading them to, then, I mean, there's nothing greater in the life of a leader. So, that's my encouragement. My feeble attempt at trying to put a bow on this episode.
Charles, the last two episodes, I've just had one quote on my mind, and I haven't found a place to insert it, so I'm going to do it now.
Yeah.
But at least on this podcast, there is no debate. The greatest basketball coach of all time was Dean Smith.
Absolutely.
Don't give me any other names on this podcast. It begins and ends with Dean Smith. If I was on your podcast and you have another opinion, you could say the same thing and I wouldn't say anything. But on this podcast, Dean Smith is the greatest college basketball coach of all time. And Dean Smith used to drill it in his players by saying something along these lines. It's incredible what a group of people can accomplish when they don't care about who gets the credit. Mm-hmm. That embodies what we've talked about in the last few weeks.
Yeah.
And, you know, working with people is effort. Some of the hardest work you're ever going to do is working at connecting with people. Of course, you could probably shoulder the load and go and get to the goal line yourself on some things. But you're going to have to face facts that there are some achievements for your church, your organization, your staff, your team, that if you don't do the hard work of connecting with people, you're never going to get there. And I want to leave people with that thought. I'll share another story later. Maybe not today. We're out of time. But a story of how Dean Smith helped one of his coaches connect with one of their players. And so that's a little teaser. I may share that in the coming weeks. But we were so glad. Charles, this has been really beneficial. I think back on all the content we've done, and I don't think as many things capture the heart of what we're about, and you led with that somewhat today, than what I think captures the heart of our ministry, you know, through the Five Gifts podcast.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Man, we want to see people transform, and that comes through relationships and connections. So, The only thing left to say today, and it's appropriate that I say this, go Tar Heels. All right.
Season starts tonight, man. The season starts tonight.
That's right. It's a great day. All right.
Yeah. Well, we want to thank you for joining us today on the Five Gifts podcast. Please remember, you can always like, follow, subscribe, and share. Also remember our new website, fivegifts.org. Man, I'm telling you, what's coming out on that website is truly, truly a work of the Holy Spirit. We have trips that are lined up from December through next year. So we're excited to see what God may have in store for us. As always, you can reach out to Charles at charlesrussellministries.com and charlesrusselltraining.com. You've heard Charles share today, and I'm telling you, he is committed to helping people grow, and he is skilled at it. So reach out to Charles at either of those website locations. You can find out more about what he can offer you, a customized approach to helping you grow and develop as a leader. You can also reach out to me at my coaching website at coachingcardia.com. And I'm all about helping people grow in their spiritual formation as well as tackling leadership issues. Again, it'll be a customized approach that fits you and helps you live into your strengths and begin to look down the road at where you want to go and see how to get there. But we're so glad to have been with you today. We'll hope to see you next week right here on the Five Gifts Podcast. You've been listening to the Five Gifts Podcast. If you would like to take the next step as a spiritual leader, we invite you to visit either of our websites or contact us for leadership coaching. We can help you reach the next level in your own growth and leadership. We provide leadership, spiritual gift, and personality assessments that give you a better grasp of your leadership style. And we also create a customized growth plan that empowers you to reach your full kingdom potential. We can't wait to hear from you.